Take a deep breath. A deep Nile breath. Take another one and pause for a moment. And then slowly release. If you wish, you may place your hand in the area of your heart. Just feel that space. Breathe slowly, relaxing deeper. The cells of your body responding to your intent to enter into the space of your heart, of your Nile heart. Breathe. Let your thoughts rest. Let your minds rest. Feel more of that energy expanding from within you. As you allow more of that divinity to come from within you, into the space that we are all sharing now. We are on the Nile, although at the moment the boat is not moving. However, our energy is. Feel that multidimensionality of your field, of your Merkaba, your vehicle of light. A field that is generated from your DNA, several feet wide, connecting with those around you, speaking in light language to those around you. Breathe. Tomorrow, we'll go to the next phase of our journey in Egypt, which will be the Lower Nile cruise. For many of you, you have passed already through several phases of processing, of transmuting, of transferring, of energies that you have begun since the start of the tour. And you feel ready for the next phase and what it will bring to you. What new revelations it will have. May they be subtle or big. Be open to new realizations and some gentle synchronicities. As though we are moving from one dimension on the journey to another. in honor, in appreciation, in love, in compassion. In some way, you already developed a story of your own during this journey. A Nile story of your own. Can you see a thread through it? Can you feel breathe? Where does this story take you from here and on? What have you discovered in pieces and parts of this journey and integrated more of who you are? What your soul was searching or looking on this journey so far that you feel now more complete, more whole, more aware, more understanding of yourself? Breathe. Open deeper to yourself. Open deeper to this moment as you literally can suspend time with your intent, with a powerful group of 108 souls, old souls, uniting in their hearts as one soul, as oneness experience, as one consciousness. Breathe. Fall deeper into your heart. See us all in a circle, metaphorically holding hands, breathe. This state of being is your natural state of being. It is truly always who you are. But as soon as you allow yourself from a busyness of one moment to another, you can be there in an instant. You don't always have to gather in groups to do this. Simply allowing in a quiet space, wherever you are, opening your heart to all that is, to your soul, you can feel that strength in you that has no beginning and that has no ends and that has the answers for everything. And in that space of love, comfort, knowingness and oneness is your true existence. Breathe. May you always drink from the Nile. May you always drink from your soul. May you always feel your light, and may you always be in your love. And as the Kryon and Taraj already poured into this space, welcome them. Feel their love. Feel the immense beyond measure love that Spirit has for you, for the journey you have taken in this lifetime that will carry you to your next lifetime. And simply be in love. We may hear more from the wisdom, love, and compassion of Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. This channel is different. I'm going to call different entities into this room right now. If you believe in such things, there is magic here. For those of you who have just tuned in to this channel, we are still in Egypt. This is farewell meeting number 2. Approximately 10% of the group leaves, and the rest stay for an additional time on another boat. This channel is different. The entourage here is not simply the Kryon entourage, for you sit in a land that is ripe with the energy of magic. Let me explain. I want to invite into this room the love of the mythology of Egypt. So it sits upon you in its grandness as I talk about it, as I celebrate it, as I inform about something that is grand. Already those who would not believe it, who are hearing this voice, this is the guy in the chair channeling. And they say, I'm not interested, you know. They say, God doesn't work that way. Really, explain how God works to me. God is love, the creative source of the universe. Is love. For 30 years, even before my partner ever spoke a word, there was love. When my partner started this, all of this, as an engineer working in the mainstream of the planet, he wasn't interested in channeling. He wasn't interested in that word, magic. He'll tell the story later. I've asked him yet to do it again. And as he will tell you, the only thing that convinced him that this was real, it wasn't a voice from the sky. It wasn't a burning bush. It wasn't none of those things. He sat in a chair and was overwhelmed and wept because I pushed into him the love of God. I pushed it in that linear heart, that engineering, the nerd that he was, couldn't control it. And he wept. And he did it again. He sat in the chair again. And the same thing happened. And he realized you can't fake it. You can't fake love, not to that degree. You cannot fake the love of God. You cannot. I want this room to start resounding to an energy that I wish to create of truth and belief as I inform you about some things you haven't heard about yet. How does God communicate, dear ones? And the answer is love. I just gave you the example. That was a communication that said it all. Without saying to my partner the name, how it works, what's going to happen, what he should do, what he should not do, what he's supposed to be afraid of or not afraid of, none of those things occurred. Only the love, and that was enough, for the light of love flowed into him and protected him from anything. And he knew it. And so his journey began 30 years ago with love. Many of you have an animal that you love. And you know exactly what I'm going to say. The animal does not have the intellect or the consciousness or the language, and the animal looks at you and pours love to you, and you know it and you feel it. There is communication, yes or no, yes. There is communication. Love is communication. And in that multidimensional energy rides in a multitude, a plethora, a library of communication to you. From just an animal or an infant that does not speak yet, who looks into the eyes of the mother and says, I'm so glad to be back on earth. And you can see it and you can feel it. That's communication. That's love. That's a two-way communication between you and the creative source. That's magic. I sat in this chair and I gave you a channeling about energy to prepare you for this channel. I spent a half an hour describing multidimensional energy as opposed to linear energy. It's not understood. And a linear human will look at it and say, I'm not interested. I don't believe it. I don't believe in magic. Yet they will go home to their animal and communicate in the same fashion. Brian, why are you calling it magic? Oh, I'm getting there. What is magic to you? It's a word some say, well, I don't believe in that at all. Use another word, Brian. Okay, I'll tell you what. We're in Egypt. So let's talk about Egyptian mythology. Let's talk about a name you haven't really heard much of, and you may not. Because it's ancient Egyptian mythology. And the name is the creative source of the universe. The name represents magic. The name is the essence, the beginning, the basis of Amun-Ra, of Horus. It is the name that is the essence of Hathor and Sekhmet and Isis and all of them together. It is the essence of magic. The name I'm going to tell you that you really haven't heard before represents protection and guidance and love because it is the creative source. It's magic. And the name is Haka. Haka. Why isn't it on the walls? It predates all of them. It means magic. To an Egyptian, knows the name well, the historians do, And it's the essence of all of them put together, all of the gods put together, because it's love. It's love. Do you doubt this? I'm going to show you right now the difference between the grandness and the wisdom and the elegance of the ancient Egyptians and any other group and culture. Right now, there's a difference. Haka, the magic of love and healing and protection and guidance into the next life. What are you told? Even into the 19th dynasty. What does the pharaoh say on the walls? What does he depict? The afterlife is beautiful. The afterlife, you're young. It's the land of flower and honey and good things. Did you notice? That's on the walls over 5,000 years ago. Now, just as an example of de-evolution, I'll take you to a church in Europe, and you can see the painting on the wall depicting horror of hell and children being dismembered, and a God of judgment and horror and vengefulness. That's today. That's taught today. Do you see devolution going on from what you saw in the temples today? You see, Ramses II would go and be with Ra, and he would feel the love that Ra had for him and for Egypt, and he would turn around and he would give it to Egypt. This is what he was known for. It's written, love, love, and love. That's elegant. That's different. And it's correct. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. You want to see how progressive they were? Each human has another self with them. Did you hear that? Where have you heard that before? On the walls depicted, each human has another self with them. It's a bubble. They called it a bubble. That's what I call it. And that's what is taught today about the beauty of the higher self that's in a bubble around you. I've used the terminology bubble for 30 years. And it's an ancient, very ancient idea. It's a name. And if you study the syllables of the name, some of them are used here for the bubble. What a coincidence. Merkaba is the bubble of the higher self that you fill with light. And if you fill it right with the love of God, and you walk from this place, that is your protection from anything, anything in this new energy on this planet. You can stand in a circle, and evils can chant around you, and you can smile, and they can't touch you because you have got light in that bubble. And they cannot go anywhere unless you invite them to. That's on the walls. Protection of the temples you are in today. Love is here. Now, I want you to see this and follow what comes next, because That is the Egypt that is original, before the conquerors, before any foreign pharaoh, before any other belief system. That is the Egypt I want you to look at. They understood the afterlife is beautiful. It isn't where you're judged and tortured by a God that would do such a thing. If there's judgment, it's from humans, not God. And sure, it got changed from dynasty to dynasty, and the pharaohs would alter it as they chose. But believe me, the essence was the same. The magic was love. I'll define magic as being that multidimensional source that is love, that communicates, that does so much between you and the creative source. That's what that is. Heka. That's the magic of ancient Egypt. I want you to look at what went on from there. Look at some of the other cultures in the other parts of the Mediterranean. Gods were not love gods at all. They were power gods. Do you see this? And that's what it de-evolved to. Power gods that would punish you. The Greeks, as I've said before, were very good at making their gods dysfunctional. That's de-evolution. From the essence of love and source and beauty of the wash of love through Egypt to the depiction of the Nile and the beauty of an idea that the Pharaoh knows it and the priests know it because it's a God of love that blesses the land, that guides you into an afterlife that is filled with joy and sunshine and youth. All metaphors, dear ones, for the soul that rides in that bubble that someday will see the other side of the veil. And when you get there, it's beautiful, dear ones, just like on the walls of the temple. Metaphoric, yes. Understand the principle. I admonish anyone listening who calls themselves New Age to become more practical than you've ever been before. Study orbs if you wish. Study ETs if you wish. But at the end of the day, make it practical so those who are with you will love you for who you are and not the strangeness that you show. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is time to take the love that you know is there and show it with the four pillars I gave you early, with the kindness and the compassion and the patience and the strength, not with odd things. Oh, there are odd things because there's magic in the forests and there's the elementals and there's energies that you're just starting to study now that are odd to you, that it eventually will be measurable. They're part of what you are. But at the end of the day, you show somebody your maturity and your balance. The things like are written on the walls of the temples that you might have seen today. If you take this apart, logically, it won't work. You will start using linear and you say, well, they had wars depicted and this and that. Dear ones, that's the humanism of duality. That's the dark and the light, and you have it and they had it, but they also had an idea that God is love. And in that, there's communication. If you were the creative source and you put souls in human beings, would you make it a one-way street? Would you say, I give you your soul from the other side of the veil in this human being. Now, have a good life, and you can pray to me. I'm not going to answer, but you can pray. Would you do that to your children? Well, you're all grown up. I'm going to send you out, but don't you call me because I'm not going to answer. I'm done. And the answer is no, you would not, because of love. And the creative source loves you, knows your name. And some of you say, well, okay. If there is communication both ways, and I believe it is, then why can't I hear God? And the answer is because God is not a human. God is not going to give you human kinds of communication. I have told you repeatedly that communication comes in the things that love does and is and becomes and develops. I already told you. What language does your pet speak? And yet it knows, doesn't it? It's a two-way street, dear ones, and love is magic. And it creates things I've told you about, like synchronicity in your life, youthing in your body. That is love, and that is how it works, being in the right place at the right time. Some of you saw this cruise and had to come. And even now, you didn't know what it was that made you then push that button that said, I'm going. Now you may know. The entourage is sitting here looking at you and saying, my hand is out. How about it? Some of you have felt uncomfortable for days. Some of you were sick for days. Welcome to love. It pushes against the darkness of you and your consciousness, or what you expect, or what you think is right or wrong. And it cuts through it in a way that makes you uncomfortable until it grabs you and says, look at me. I love you. Drop all of that resistance. It's on the walls of the temple. That's what the Egyptians had. That's the elegance. They had a God of love. They understood the magic. Ask an ancient Egyptian, they're in the room, about magic. And they'll say, of course there's magic. We use it for healing all the time. They will tell you, of course there's this, of course there's that. And they'll roll their eyes when you say, really? We're in 2019. We don't believe in it. And they'll look at you and say, well, we're very glad we're here and not with you. They may even call you a pagan. Oh, that's funny. They had some beautiful ideas. Duality works with free choice, and it got de-evolved. You know the rest. You've seen the history. But I wanted to show you a land you sit in that's different than you thought. Not just history or names, but look for the love written on the walls. They all are looking young, aren't they? Because that's what they expect that God of love will give them on the other side of the veil. Every single depiction of a pharaoh or the priests or his wives, they're all the same age. Did you notice? They're all young and beautiful because that's the way they look. Because they're just passing through. So are you. They had that so correct. They're just passing through on their way to something grand and beautiful like you are. When you return to the light, that's the message on the walls of the temple. For you to interpret and see in the cracks of the history that you're being told about and the names that are there, there's magic. There's more. But for now, that's enough. The entourage which is here is filled with those of the Kryon entourage. And those in ancient Egypt that are winking and saying, right on, brother. You got it right. I hope that makes you look at things just a little differently. You can see the turning point through history. as you listen to the conquerors and the foreigners changing everything just a little bit until finally they wanted to erase it all, obliterate the faces that believed in love, and go to a God of power and punishment. Go from this place with a truth that may be different than you thought. And honor this place and the ancients and the preservation of that message. For it's a good one. It's a good one. And while you're here, may you drink from the Nile, a metaphor of the beauty and the life of the ancients. Egypt. And so it is.